We don't know until we're there. Hold that phrase. We're going to come back to it. Brethren, I want to start with a man who was certain. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. This is the night Christ is betrayed. He's just told the 12 disciples that every one of them will be offended because of him this very night. And one of them will not have it. Verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this night before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice." Peter said to him, "Though I should die with you, yet will I not deny you." Likewise also said all the disciples. Look at that. Peter is not bluffing. He means every word. He would have signed it in blood. And don't forget verse 35, also said all the disciples. Every man in that room was sure, not just Peter. Now go down to verse 69. A few hours have passed. Not days, hours. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." This was a servant girl, not a soldier, not a sword. A girl by a fire asking a question. And it goes on, verse 74. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. So he went out and wept bitterly. Here's what I want us to see. Peter was the most confident man in that room, and he was the most wrong about himself. He wasn't lying on the Mount of Olives. He genuinely didn't know what he would do. So here's the question before all of us. Do any of us truly know what we would do until we are there? My purpose today is simple. None of us can know how we will act under a real test until we are inside it. The answer to that is not fear. It's preparation and the Spirit of God before the test ever comes. So why couldn't Peter see it? He walked with Christ for 3 years. Why didn't he know his own heart? Because the heart doesn't tell the truth about itself. Let's turn to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Above all things, not deceitful sometimes, not deceitful when it's tired, above all things. And the Hebrew under deceitful is the word Aqob, A-Q-O-B, Strong's H6121. It comes from the same root the name Jacob is built on. The name in Hebrew is Yaakov, H3290, and the root is Aqab, A-Q-A-B, which is H6117, to supplant, to take by the heel. Esau makes the wordplay himself in Genesis 27:36. You just put that in your notes. Is not he rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times? That is the same root Jeremiah uses for the heart. The heart doesn't just lie to other people. It lies to the one it lives in. It lied to Peter. It lies to all of us. And it sounds exactly like our own voice when it does. Now turn over to Proverbs 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So scripture is not subtle here. To lean on the heart we can't read is not courage, it's foolishness. This is the verdict over Peter on the Mount of Olives, and it's the verdict over every one of us when we do the same. And Paul says the same thing to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, he just walked them through Israel, falling in the wilderness. And then he warns us. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Hear that carefully. The danger is not the one who knows he is weak. The danger is the one who is sure he is standing. The confidence is the trap. Peter's certainly didn't protect him. It set him up. We don't know until we're there. Now, Peter wasn't unusual. Scripture gives us the same scene over and over with different faces. So let's take the whole nation of Israel, for example. We'll go back to Exodus 19 and verse 8. God has just brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and Moses lays the covenant before them, and listen to their answer. Exodus 19, verse 8. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Eternal has spoken, we will do." All of it, together, with one voice. And they meant it. They say it again in chapter 24, verse 3, even stronger. All the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Eternal has said, we will do." A whole nation, certain. But let's jump over to chapter 32 in Exodus. Moses has been up the mountain a little while, not very long. And verse 1 tells us where all that certainty went. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." The same mouths that said, "All that the Eternal has spoken, we will do," are now demanding new gods. Same people, same week. They didn't know what they would do until they were there. Here's another example, and this one's a bit darker. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. There's a man named Hazael, a servant of the king of Syria. The prophet Elijah looks at him and weeps because Elisha sees brutal things Hazael will one day do to Israel. Verse 12, let's read verse 12, 2 Kings chapter 8. And Hazael said, "Why is my Lord weeping?" He answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword." And now hear Hazael's answer, verse 13. So Hazael said, "But what is your servant, a dog, that he should do this gross thing?" A dog. He is offended at the suggestion. He can't imagine himself doing it. He's sure. And then verse 15. He goes home, he smothers the king, and he reigns in his place. Every word Elisha said came true. Hazael didn't know the evil that was in him until he was there. Two examples, a whole nation that said all of it, one man who said, "Am I a dog?" Both certain, both wrong about themselves. The mouth that confessed was never the proof. The heart underneath it was never read. So where does that leave us? If Peter didn't know, if Israel didn't know, if a man couldn't see his own cruelty coming, what hope is there for us? The answer is in the same chapter we started in, Matthew 26 and verse 41. This is Christ in the garden the same night, talking to the same Peter who is about to fall. He doesn't say, "Be more confident." He says this, Matthew 26, verse 41. "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray. That is the answer. Not trust yourself more. The exact opposite. He says it plainly to the man who just promised to die for him. The willing spirit was real. The flesh was also real. And only one of them was awake in that courtyard. This is the heart of what we understand as God's people. Mr. Armstrong taught it for 50 years. Human nature, left to itself, is not strong enough. The fight is not won by deciding harder. It's won by the Spirit of God in us, doing in us what we can't do on our own. Which is why Paul tells us how to get ready. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6, verse 11. We all know this very well. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on. That is something you do before the fight, not during it. Drop down to verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In the evil day, the day comes for everyone. The armor is not issued in the evil day. You put it on now while it's still quiet. So you're still standing when it's not. Peter had no armor on in that courtyard. He only had his confidence, and his confidence was the first thing to fall. I've seen a small version of this myself. I filmed a lot of interviews, people needing to present in front of a camera. I can stand with someone just talking, and they're easy, natural, they're themselves. And then I raise the camera and I tell them, now say that same exact thing again, but this time we're recording. And something comes over them. They stiffen, they freeze. The words that flowed a second ago, they won't come to mind. Nothing changed but one thing. Now it counts. I've experienced the same thing myself. I'll run through what I want to talk about myself, and it's effortless. I'm confident. And then that red record light comes on and a different man shows up. I forget what I want to talk about. It's not flowing naturally. I feel stiff. You think you know what you'll do when the moment is on you, and then the moment is on you and you find out you don't know until you're there. So the goal, brethren, is not to be more sure of ourselves. It's to be more sure of God. Peter was restored. The same man who cursed and swore by a fire is the man who later wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant." He learned it the hard way. We don't have to. We have his account. We have Israel's. We have Haziel's. Scripture gave us these examples and more on purpose, so we would stop trusting the one heart we can't read. We don't know how we will act until we're there, so we watch. We pray. We put on the armor now, today, while it's still quiet. And remember, Peter at the fire didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. Israel at Sinai was carnal. They didn't have God's Holy Spirit. They didn't yet have what we have, the Spirit of God dwelling in them. We do, and as long as we keep it stoked, as long as we don't quench it, so when we are there, and we will be, it won't be our heart left standing. It will be God's Spirit in us, leading us. We don't know until we're there, so let us be ready before we are.